You know, we really live in a world that's full of competing beliefs and values and choices. And what you believe shapes how you live and ultimately who you become. But the good news is, God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. No. In fact, today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to continue our series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick Warren unpacks powerful truths from God's Word to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. All right, everybody, here's Rick with part one of a message called, Where Did We Come From?
When I wrote the book, Purpose Driven Life, on the very first page of the first chapter, I begin with a quote by a well-known atheist. That man was Bertrand Russell, and he said this, quote, "Unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless." I happen to agree with him 100% of that. He's right. He's intellectually honest in saying, if you assume there's a God, then you can assume there's a purpose in life. But if there is no God, then the question about the purpose of life is meaningless. Let me get right to the point. If there is no God, if this is all just made up, we're just faking it, we're just pretending, we've been conned by a myth. If there is no God, if everything in the world is an accident, if everything just is random chance, there is no rhyme or reason, there is no designer, no creator in the world. If that's true, then your life is worthless. Your life doesn't matter. Your life has no significance. There is no purpose to your life. If there is no God, and we're all just a result of a random chance, it was the chance you were born, and it'll be a chance that you die, then there is no significance in the world. There is no right or wrong. There is no basis for law. There is no heaven or hell. There is no afterlife. Nothing really matters. You see, to be intellectually honest, the only logical, rational philosophy for an atheist, if you really believe there is no God, this is all just an accident, then the only rational belief position is nihilism, which basically says nothing really matters. Nothing really matters at all because it's all just chance. Now, I've traveled around the world a lot of times, and I've met thousands and thousands of Christian believers who are willing to live with the logical consequences, sometimes bad consequences, of what they believe, even being willing to be tortured for it, and even being willing to die for what they believe. But I'll have to be honest with you. In all of my years, I have never, ever met an atheist who had the courage to intellectually believe the implications of what they say they believe. Every atheist I know wants to believe there is no God, but my life matters. Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. If life is just random accident and chance, and you're an accident, then nothing really matters. And I've never found anybody with the courage. What they want to do is they want to believe there's no God, but then they want to believe that their life matters and that things matter in the world, which is an inconsequential or opposite of what you're saying you believe. Albert Camus, the French atheist philosopher, pointed this out. And he said the logical extension of atheism is despair. And he was a philosopher of despair. Now, fortunately, only about 2% of the people in the entire world deny the existence of God. Only 2% are genuinely atheists. And so we don't live in a culture of despair like that. We live in a culture that values life. Now, tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to look at this third question in this series of the great questions on life. Who am I and where did I come from? And we're going to look at the three things that Jesus said about who you are and where you came from. And then, even more important than that, I want to look at the implications, because there are five very profound implications that will affect the rest of your life. If you've got your notes, why don't you write down these three fundamental truths, these three pillars of what we believe. First, number one is that God created everything. God created everything. In the first book of the Bible, in the first chapter of that book, in the first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, it says this in Genesis 1:1. By the way, in the beginning, it says, that's a good thing to start with, in the beginning. If you're ever going to write a book, start it with in the beginning. In the beginning, God. Let me just stop right there. In the beginning, God. If you can't get back past those four words, then really life has no meaning. It has no purpose. It has no significance. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God. God existed long before the universe, long before this planet, certainly long before the human race. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the Bible tells us that God spoke the universe into existence. He spoke it into existence. You say, how long did that take? I don't know. Could have taken a second. Could have taken 10 billion years to speak it. I don't know. And really, it doesn't matter to me. The bottom line is that God could take as little or as much time as he wanted to speak it. He just spoke it. In fact, you see, when you are an eternal being, time is irrelevant to you because you are not controlled by time. Look at what the Bible says, this verse up here on the screen. 2 Peter 3:8 says, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. God is not constrained by time. So a one with about 9 or 10 zeros behind it, that's a blink of an eye for God. It makes no difference how long it took. It took as long as he wanted to take. And the Bible doesn't actually say how long. You say, well, do you believe that God used the theory of evolution? No, I don't. It's a theory, but I don't happen to believe it. Now, we do know that species change. We do know that, for instance, you can change the color of an orchid. We call them hybrids. You can take a plant or an animal and you can change their features. You can change an orchid from yellow to green. But nobody's ever changed a species. Nobody's ever changed an orchid into an elephant. Nobody's ever changed a mouse into a monkey. There are changes. Sure, certainly, you can show how birds can change their beak or their colors because of winter, or the Drosophila fruit fly, and how you can change its life circle and span. But no, there is absolutely zero evidence of species change in the fossils. Not at all. There's not any fossils change that prove a species change. So it's just a theory. Now, it's interesting that the Bible doesn't spend a whole lot of time talking about how God created the universe. Instead, it spends a lot of time talking about why. And that's really what I'm more interested in. Why did he do it? Why did God create the universe? Why did God create the earth? Why did God create human beings? Why did he create the earth? Well, look at the next verse. The Bible says this. He did not create the earth to be empty, but formed it to be what? Inhabited. God made the earth to be inhabited. He made it so it could sustain life. He didn't want it to be a dead planet. He created it to sustain life. And he put it at just the right distance from the sun and put it just on the right axis so that when it spun, it didn't get too hot or too cold and it could sustain life. Now, the Bible tells us, I love this in the Message paraphrase, it says, God didn't go to all the trouble just to leave it empty. He made it to be lived in. Now, why did God create the earth to sustain life? Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 2:10, God is the one who made all things, and all things are for his glory. He wanted to have many children share his glory. Now, it says here, God created it all to bring glory to himself, to enjoy it himself. He did it because he wanted to do it. And he said he wanted to have many children share his glory. Who's he talking about there? You and me. If I had time to take you through scripture, I could show you that the Bible very clearly teaches that God wanted a family. Now, God wasn't lonely. He didn't need us, but he wanted us. And the Bible says that God is love and that we were created as objects of God's love. We were made simply so God could love us. If you want to know why you're sitting there right now, why you're taking the next breath, why your heart is beating the next beat, it's you were made to be loved by God. And if God hadn't wanted to love you, you would not be taking the breath you're taking right now. In fact, the Bible says that God created the entire universe just so he could create this galaxy, just so he could create the earth, just so he could create the human race, just so he could create you, so he could love you and love me. We were the idea behind creation. God made it all possible so that he could love us. Now, if you want a mind-blowing idea, that is a mind-blowing experience. The Bible says God created everything, but he did it because we are the crown of creation. He wanted children. He wanted to create some individuals in his image that could be a part of his forever family. So God created everything. Here's the second pillar of truth. The second pillar is God thought of us first, but he created us last. God thought of us, the human race, first before he thought of anything else. But he created us, he made us last. Now the Bible tells us in Genesis the exact order of creation. It says God started first by creating light. He made light. And next the Bible says he created water. He created water, and then he created the sky or the atmosphere. He created the atmosphere. And then next, he created the oceans and the land. He split the oceans, dry land and wet land. And then he created vegetation on that land. The Bible says after that, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then it says after that, he created water animals, fish and water animals. And then after that, he created birds. And then it says after that, he created land animals. And then finally, last of all, he created man and woman. He created human beings. He created everything else first, but we were the reason for all the stuff that came before. Look at the next verse. Ephesians 1:4 says, long before he laid down the earth's foundations, that means before he created the world, God had us in mind. Isn't that amazing? God had us in mind, and he settled on us as the focus of his love. He said, I'm going to create the universe so I can create these people so I can love them. He created us last, but he thought of us first. We're the reason for everything else. We are the crown of creation. The Bible says in James 1:18, God brought us into being through the word of truth so that we should have first place among all his creatures. And you as a human being are unlike anything else God has made. We're going to talk about that a little more in a minute. But he says, you're different. Now, here's the third thing that God tells us about creation. God custom designed each of us. He custom designed each of us. When you stop and actually think about what I'm actually going to share with you from the Bible, it really is indescribable. It's unbelievable. It's amazing what God did. David says this in Psalm 139. He's praying to God. He says, you, God, made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Very few things are more complex than the human body. Your workmanship is marvelous. And how well I know it. You watched me, God. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. In other words, when you were conceived in your mother's womb, God saw it happening. He watched. He says, you watched me as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. God custom designed you because he had a place and a purpose and a plan for your life. And he oversaw that creation, and you would not have been created without it. Now, don't ever let any professor or any parent tell you you are an accident. You're not an accident. There are accidental parents, but there are no accidental babies. God planned you. Your parents may not have planned you, but God did. And really, it has nothing to do with whether they were good parents or bad parents or indifferent parents, or maybe you didn't even know your parents, or maybe one of your parents died before you came to know them or whatever. It's irrelevant. Why did God choose your parents? Because they had just the right DNA to create you. He wanted you, and he had you in mind. And whether they were good or bad people or whatever, he wanted you created, and they had the DNA to create you. There are illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate children. God had a plan. If you're here, it's because he wanted you here. Now, that's amazing. The Bible says this. Look up here on the screen. Romans 11:34 and 35. Have you ever come across anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God? this deep, deep wisdom, it's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out. Is there anyone around who can explain God? And the answer is no. No one can explain God. If you could explain God, you'd be God. But you can't. You trying to explain God would be like an ant trying to explain the internet. You don't have the brain capacity to explain God. God is so great. And so what he has done is unbelievable, indescribable, unattainable. It's just an amazing thing. So what should be our response? Just thank him. Thank him for his wonderful grace, for his wonderful love. In fact, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 9:15. It says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God created everything. God thought of us first, but made us last. And God custom designed you. Now, what are the implications of that? Well, there are five, and they have profound impact on your life when you understand them. Number one, first implication, your life has sanctity. Your life has sanctity. Now, what does that mean? Sanctity comes from the word to sanctify. To sanctify means to set apart. It means to make something special. It means to dedicate it for a special use. If I were to say to God, God, I want you to take my car and I want it to just be used totally to serve humanity and to serve you, then I could say I sanctified that car. I just made it special by dedicating it for a special, unique use. Rick Mutchell could take his guitar and say, God, I want to give you this guitar and I want to use it to play music to you that makes the world a better place. Then he would sanctify the guitar. It just means you set it apart for special use. And the Bible says that your life has sanctity. Why is that? Because human beings are uniquely different from all the rest of creation. Why? There are three reasons, and they're the next three verses there on your outline. First, at the bottom of the outline, it says, God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself, male and female, he created them. Now, here's the first reason your life has sanctity. God designed you in his image. That makes you different than all the animals. Cows and goats and sheep and ducks and frogs are not designed in the image of God, but human beings are. How are we different? First, we have a free moral choice. You can choose between right and wrong. You have a conscience. Animals don't have a conscience. You can talk to God. You can pray to God. Animals can't do that. You can make decisions and create decisions and create tools, and there are a lot of things that you can do that are made in the image of God. And that makes you different from all of the rest of creation. You're not the same as animals. God designed you in his image. In fact, here's what the Bible says. Look up here on the screen. Psalm 8:5. You made people inferior only to yourself. You crowned them with glory and honor. God says he's given us a certain position as human beings in the universe because we were made in his image. He wanted us made in his image. By the way, do you know why in the Bible that God authorizes governments to use capital punishment in murder cases? God says, I allow governments to put people to death who've murdered other people. Why? Because murder violates the sanctity of life. And God says, if you, without any authority, take a person's life, you murder them just because you want to, he says, then you know what? You forfeit your own life. In fact, look at what the Bible says up here on the screen. Genesis 9, 5 and 6, here's just one example. Animals that kill people must die. And any person who murders another must be executed. For to murder a person is to kill a living being made in God's image. And when someone is murdered, it robs God of fellowship with that person. That's why you were made in God's image.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? Well, Pastor Rick says throughout all the years he's been a pastor, the number one question that he's been asked is, wait for it, why can't I change? You know, people really want to change, but they're stuck, and maybe you feel that way too. So in his book, God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick lays out the groundwork for personal transformation. And then he offers biblical insights and simple steps for 10 areas of growth that can take you from where you are right now to where you want to be. This book really connects you with the power to actually make the changes that you long to make. And as you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change, and you'll get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. So be sure to request your copy of God's Power to Change Your Life when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere. That's our way of saying thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's PastorRick.com and that's got two R's in the middle, or just text the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It means so much to us at Daily Hope. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.